Pray with me as we get started in the message. Father, the scripture says your word is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. And we know that that is true. And we pray that as we look at the church this morning and what it is and what it should be, that your Holy Spirit would guide and direct us. We're thankful, Father, that you have allowed us to be here this morning. We're thankful for the beautiful day that you've given us. And we pray that we might rejoice in it, in our relationship to you and to our fellowship with one another. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Just a moment of review. We have been looking at the priorities of the church. The first one that we looked at was love God and your neighbor. We're going to have an opportunity to love our neighbor this morning as we get to the end of the message. Number two, the priority of preaching the Lord. I don't know what else there is to preach. If we aren't preaching Christ and Him crucified, if we aren't preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're certainly wasting our time. The third one was the priority of commitment. I don't know what to say about that. Commitment to the Lord, commitment to the church, commitment to one another. Some people believe that they need to be committed, others don't. But the scripture certainly teaches that we need to be committed in trusting Christ to keep us and to help us in whatever we are doing. Number four was the priority of wisdom. I guess I was, when we did that, I was the only one who needed wisdom. I don't know about the rest of you. When I asked how many of you needed wisdom, I was the only one who raised my hand. So I'm glad that I am with a congregation that has so much wisdom. Amen? Ask God, study the Proverbs. How many times is wisdom used in the Proverbs? How many times is wisdom used in the Proverbs? 55. Who said that? Give them a quarter. 50 cents. Praise the Lord. 55 times. The priority of prayer. That was last week. A heart change from Acts, the 10th chapter, between Cornelius and Peter. Remember, we said that the Jews didn't want anything to do with the Gentiles. Peter was among those who had no inclination of what knocking on a Gentile's door and asking them about their relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. But through the work of the Holy Spirit, Peter and Cornelius were brought together, and it opened the door to the Gentile world. That be you and me. And we're thankful for that incident in the book of Acts. So today we're going to look at the priority of the church. What on earth is the church? It comes from a Greek word, ekklesia. And the word ek means out, and lesia means people. You are the church. This thing that we meet in is not the church. It's simply a building where we come together. But wherever you go, you're the church. You're a called out person. You have been forgiven of your sins through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you are the church. So when we talk about going to church, it isn't going to a building. It's the church coming to a building to meet together, to have fellowship and hear the word of God and do some other things. Sociologists have made a very interesting study about the church. I don't know if you understand this or not, but sociologists say that people who attend church regularly will live 7.5 years longer. Do you want to live 7.5 years longer? Maybe you're ready to die. I don't know. But that's what the sociologists say as they have studied people who go to church regularly. They also discovered that 56% are more likely to have an optimistic attitude towards life if they go to church regularly. Of course, if they don't, who knows what kind of an attitude they have. 27% are less likely to be depressed, anxious, or suffer from mental disorders. So if you want to be healthy mentally, what should you do? Attend church. Boy, you guys. They also have higher levels of marital satisfaction. They talk less about divorce and lower levels of negative interaction. They achieve higher grades in school, by the way. They practice better time management in business, and they experience a better sex life. Evidently, being an active part of the church has benefits that affect almost every area of our lives. But we don't think about that. We think about what we want to do. I want to share something. Gwen and I don't share very much of our experiences. We just don't. I don't believe that they're that important. But this is something about the church. I was stationed at Laurie Air Force Base when the Air Force Academy was stationed there while they were finishing the Air Force Academy in Colorado Springs. And we had rented a small house in Colorado Springs, in Denver. And I don't know where we were, but we were driving down this street, and we passed a Grange Hall, of all things. If you've ever had church in a Grange Hall, you've missed a real experience. But there was this sign outside the Grange Hall that said, Cherry Creek Christian Church meets here on Sunday morning. Didn't bother me. I was such a brand new Christian, I wasn't interested in going to church. But my wife, who started when she was about 2 months old, wanted to go to church. And since we saw Cherry Creek Christian Church, she thought we ought to try it. So we went on Sunday morning, and it wasn't too bad. I actually survived. Barely. But here's the kicker. They had a Wednesday night Bible study. And I certainly didn't want to go to a Wednesday night Bible study. But Gwen insisted. And so we went to this Wednesday night Bible study. And I have never seen anything like this in my entire life and hope to never see it again. I knew this preacher had something on his mind because he was just different on Wednesday night than what he was on Sunday morning. His name was Orrin David Dwyer, Jr. I'll never forget the name. He got up and he fired the elders. I don't know if there were two or three of them. It wasn't a very big congregation. He fired all the teachers. He fired everybody. He fired the treasurer. He fired everybody who had anything to do of any nature in the church. And they all bursted out crying and complaining and talking. And, oh, I thought, boy, if this is the church, who wants anything part to do with it? Because I didn't know Genesis from Revelation. And here's this guy firing. Well, I didn't know preachers could fire everybody. That was a brand new thing to me. Well, as the story went on, they fired him by the next Sunday. And then they were looking for a new pastor. Well, it took a little while, but the new pastor moved in about 5 or 6 houses away from us. His name was Logan Cox. And he became my mentor. For over 3 years, he mentored me. And I will never, ever forget all the time he spent with me teaching me the Word of God and a whole lot of other things. And I wouldn't be here today had it not been for that man's patience, love, and concern. And I would encourage you to find somebody to mentor, somebody to sit down with and spend the necessary time to teach them the Word of God. I preached my first sermon at Cherry Creek Christian Church. It was a miracle. I preached from Genesis to Revelation in 10 minutes. That's pretty good time, isn't it? To preach the whole Bible in 10 minutes. Of course, I had no idea what I was doing. But later on, I finally found out. So here's what I'm trying to get at. I think it's important for us as Christian people to find people to mentor. Not everybody knows very much about the Word of God. I certainly didn't. I knew absolutely nothing. I had been to church with Gwen at Lyman, Nebraska, but what they did at Lyman, Nebraska was another story. So here's the thing. There was a time in our culture, back yonder, when going to church was about as popular as eating apple pie. And people who didn't go to church embraced the Judeo-Christian concepts. They believed in the morality of the Bible. They believed that people should treat one another adequately. But that's all changed. There's no longer any of that in existence. The culture has totally, 100% changed. And people do what they want to do when they want to do it, how they want to do it, even in the church. I'm going to do my thing. I don't care what you want to do. I'll do my thing. So the world has really changed. And we need to consider that because we are living in a different world. And it's our responsibility to inculcate within ourselves the Word of God to the extent that we can share it with others in an adequate way. That we can find somebody to mentor, to help, and to teach, and to help them grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, the church helps us, praise God. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. Wow. Consider God's command, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. In Psalm 22:22, the scripture says, I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will praise you. And that's certainly a responsibility that we have. Going to church is a visual responsibility or illustration of the fact that we love the Lord. You don't have to go to church. No, you don't. I can't make you go to church. In fact, I read on the internet this week 28 reasons why people are no longer going to church. They aren't very profound reasons. They're pretty light, as a matter of fact. So people are saying, I'm done. I'm finished. I'm going to do my own thing. Are they staying at home worshiping? And one of the things that's causing this is our live streaming. People would rather stay home and drink coffee on the couch. But not everybody does that. The 28 reasons that people give are really lucid. But that's what's happening. People are living in droves. Now, the church will never go out of existence. Jesus said heaven and hell can go against the church, but the church will never go out of existence. It may get smaller, but it will never go out of existence. Coming to church, coming to worship, coming to fellowship with one another is a believer's responsibility and privilege to bear witness of our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But not everybody does that, and you can't make them do that. Church is where we can bring him our offerings and our tithes, where we can help one another. It isn't just bringing money to the church. It's a matter of helping one another in other many, many other ways. Maybe they need a hug. Maybe they need a tap on the back. Maybe they need just some words of encouragement. Whatever they might need, that can happen in the fellowship of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Consider these precious promises given to us from our Lord Jesus Christ. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I will be also. That's a pretty glorious promise in my opinion. I never understood that for years, but finally did. Jesus is right here with us. Amen. Amen. We used to have a chair when I was at Mount Pleasant Church. We used to set up a chair, and that was the Jesus chair. And we honored that chair because we knew that the Lord Jesus Christ was with us. And sometimes we forget that what that scripture says, that no matter what is going on, he is here with us. He's here right now. He might be sitting beside you and you may not know it, but he's here. And that's his promise. He's right here with us as we meet together to worship him in spirit and in truth. What is the object of our meeting together? As I've already mentioned, it's to hear the Word of God. Oh, I know you can read the Word of God on your own. But there's a benefit in us coming together to share the Word of God. There's a benefit in going to a Bible study. There's a benefit in teaching our children the Word of God. There really and truly is. I didn't know that at first, but it took me a long time to figure it out. Consider this command from our Lord. I don't know if this is the right one. Yeah. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. What day is he talking about? He's probably talking about 2 days. One would be the Lord's day. You know, the Jews had it figured right. Before the Sabbath, Mom would prepare all week long for the Sabbath. She would bake special food because they weren't going to cook any food on the Sabbath. She would use for dinner the best plates that she had. Everything was spread out beautifully and wonderfully. And they talked a great deal about Jehovah and about the Lord. Not the Lord Jesus Christ, but about the Heavenly Father, because they didn't accept Jesus as the Christ. But they prepared, meticulously prepared, to worship God on the Sabbath. We don't do that, do we? We don't meticulously prepare. And maybe if we did, it would be more meaningful to us. But we don't do that. But the Jews certainly did. The church helps build up our spiritual strength. I tell you what, I don't know what I'd do without the church. I love the church. And the scripture says, the church provides fellowship, yeah, it does. I want to read Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If we want to increase our faith, we need to listen to the word of God. I don't care where you listen to the word of God. You don't have to listen to it here. But somewhere, listen to the word of God. Open your Bible and listen to the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Receiving and preaching and learning the word of God increases our faith and helps us to walk in his way. You've heard about the illustration of the log. You build a fire, you put big logs on the bottom, littler logs, and then kindling. And if you remove one of the big logs, the fire goes down. That's what happens in the church. If we lose some of those big logs, the fire simply goes down. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Praise the Lord. The church provides fellowship. I don't know about you. That first church that we were in provided the most beautiful fellowship we've ever had in a ministry. Those people took Gwen and I on as our aunts and uncles. And they cared for us for as long as we were there. Every Sunday night, we would get together for pizza. We had one young man there who ate pizza and immediately vomited. But you know, he wouldn't quit eating pizza. Every Sunday night he did exactly the same thing. He wound up in a Bible college and became a pastor. I don't even know if he's still alive. But here's the point. That's what the church is about. And that's what the church had at one time. But not so much in this day and age. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. That's a beautiful passage of Scripture. The Bible makes it clear that a right relationship with God requires a vertical and a horizontal relationship. And that's what we need in this day and age. And that's what's missing from many churches today. And that's what we're trying to get to going in this congregation of believers. Wow, how important that is. The church actually, we need to pray for one another. Goodness, we've had opportunities recently to pray for one another. Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. I think tomorrow morning will be the fourth funeral since July 1st. And boy, this is an opportunity for us to pray for one another, to pray for those who are losing a loved one, to understand what that's all about and where you go after you die. Most of them have been children of God, and they need our prayers. I know I'm running out of time. The church belongs to Jesus Christ. Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I say that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it." Matthew 16, 16 through 18. Wow. The church does belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he didn't build his church on Peter. He blessed it on the confession that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's what the church is built upon. And we praise the Lord for that. I have a couple of questions for you. Do you personally know Jesus Christ as the one whom the church is built upon? If you don't, today is the day of salvation. I'm going to close with a rather interesting illustration. I remember these days. I don't know if most of you do. How many of you remember the days when if a young man came into church with a cap on that everybody tried to get his cap off? How many of you remember those days? Yeah. Well, he was a typical young man. Well, maybe not so typical. It was the first time anyone had ever seen him in church. He appeared to be all by himself. And he was. He came in and sat down. He was wearing a cap. During the song service, a man sitting behind him, a deacon, by the way, leaned forward and demanded rather gruffly, "Take your hat off!" Somehow we had the idea in those days that if you wore a cap, you weren't honoring God. He didn't remove his cap. A few minutes later, the deacon repeated, "I said, remove your hat." The teen turned around and whispered, "I really don't want to take off my cap. Maybe I should just leave." The man responded, "No, you don't need to leave. Just take off that cap." When the boy turned back around, the deacon reached forward and snatched the hat off the boy's head and dropped it into the young man's lap. Everyone nearby noticed the boy's skull. A nasty scar reached from one ear to the other. He had had a terrible brain surgery. The boy jammed his ball cap on his head, got up and left. This is a true thing. I haven't made this up. The church never knew the boy's name. They never knew why he came. The only thing the church knew is why he left. God help us. God help us. God doesn't care whether you wear a cap. God isn't going to save you or send you to hell because you wear a cap. God loves you as you are. Amen. And what a tragedy that this church, the only thing they knew is that he left. They couldn't fathom a young man sitting in a worship service with a cap. But I can promise you, God didn't care. But he cared for the nasty attitude of that deacon and for a church that chased him out without finding anything about him and why he had come in the first place. Do you know what the preacher preached on that day? The love of Christ. Isn't that interesting? They didn't manifest the love of Christ, but the pastor preached on the love of Christ. That young man probably needed that message. And if anybody really needed that message, it was that deacon who snatched his cap and threw it in his lap. Did that man hear the message? I seriously doubt it. The real question is, did the church hear and learn anything from the message? Probably not. I remember those days. I never did understand it. That if a young man or an adult wore a cap to church, they were looked down upon horribly and thinking that, boy, somehow you are not honoring God if you wear a cap. Several people ask me, why do you wear a coat in the pulpit? It isn't to look good. It's because I'm cold. The stuff that they have me on gives me terribly low blood pressure, and people shake hands with me and they say, why are your hands so cold? Well, it's because of my low blood pressure. So I'm not trying to look good. I'm not trying to be better than anybody else. I'm just cold. And you don't want to be around me when I'm cold. So let the church truly glorify Christ, not by what we wear, but what we do, what we say, and what we are in relationship to each other. Let the church love people right where they are. If they have a cap on, if they don't have a cap on, if they wear something, oh, well, I think, well, I wish they would dress differently. I don't care. God doesn't look on that stuff. He looks on the what? The heart. So if you want to wear a cap next Sunday, it's okay. Okay, our hymn of invitation this morning. Oh, how he loves you and me. Boy, that is so true. Whether you wear a cap or whether you don't. Let's be standing as we sing.